The scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning.
What a blessing it is for us to be here on this morning. I'll let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. We're thankful for you being here. Thankful for you as members, of course, being here as we come to learn more about God, about His Word, and what He desires from us as His people. And so what we're going to be talking about on today, we're going to be talking about the difficult doctrines in December. But today we're going to focus more on the humility and what is required for us as the people of God to actually hear what God's Word has to say. And I want to say from the onset that I appreciate the song selection that was selected right before the lesson, because when we think about surrendering our will, we must surrender our will to Jesus Christ. And the reason why is because He is the one in whom God has given all authority. So we're supposed to be listening to Him. We're supposed to hear His words, because Jesus on one occasion said, I did not speak of my own authority, but the Father who gave me what to say and what to speak. And so when we consider that great man, the Lord, the Master, Jesus the Christ, He is the one that we're listening to, and we need to continue to do that. I want us to read again for emphasis sake. I appreciate our dear brother that read the scripture in our hearing, Brother Paul. Appreciate him also leading us in prayer. But let's read Proverbs 9, verse 8 and 9 again for emphasis sake. And I'll tell you why. Do not correct a scoffer or one who dismisses, lest he hate you. Rebuke or correct or sternly correct a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, a prudent man, one that is skilled in his thinking and in his living, and he will be still wiser, prudent. Now watch this. Instruct or teach a just man. A man, a person who is righteous in his conduct and character. Teach him, instruct him, and he will, notice this, increase in learning. And so as I was thinking about that and I was considering some things, it made me think about what we want to talk about this month. Because learning and developing is a part of life. In every aspect of life, friends, we need to be learning, we need to be developing, we need to be growing. And the reason why is because God wants us to be just like His Son. When we think about some of the hard sayings in the scriptures, some of those hard sayings in the scriptures actually cause people to actually turn away from God. Yet, some of those hard sayings cause people to draw closer to God. When we consider this and we ask ourselves a question, according to Proverbs 9 and verse number 8, are we scorners? Are we those who dismiss the Word of God or mock the Word of God? We hear people all the time mock God's Word. They scorn God's Word. They don't accept the Word or the will of God. Yet the wise one, they accept God's will. They accept His Word. They hear His Word. They apply His Word. Or I can say they check His Word and then apply His Word. And they see the great benefits of His Word. Sometimes as the people of God, we have to ask ourselves, why don't I want this to be true? If this is a hard saying, why don't I want this to be true? The just one understands that they're going to hear what God's Word has to say and they're going to grow even wiser. They're going to humbly accept what God's Word has to say. And so it caused me to think about our attitude and our attitude toward the teachings of God. When we consider the teachings of God, they will determine how we respond and ultimately how we behave. Isn't that true? When we think about the teachings of God, God's word, his teachings, when we consider them, when we apply them, when we understand them, it's going to determine our thought process. It's going to determine our behavior. It's going to determine our response. And so for this reason, when we think about difficult teachings, they will either draw us or repel us. You remember in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, upon Jesus' resurrection, he tells his disciples to go into all the world, preach the gospel. And he gives two he's there, if you will, two he's. Jesus says, he that believes, meaning he understands, he trusts, and is baptized will be saved. But the second he is different than the first he. The second he that believeth not shall be condemned. And so that caused me to think about God's word and his will. And sometimes God's word actually draws individuals closer to him. And sometimes his word repels. And so it caused me to think about some of Jesus's hard teachings in John chapter 6. And when I think about John chapter 6 and some of his hard teachings and how they were following Jesus as it relates to him feeding them. But as soon as he required more of a commitment, guess what they did? They turned away and they walked with him no more. Jesus turns to his disciples in John 6 and verse number 60 and he says, will you go away also? Peter says, to whom shall we go? You got the words of eternal life. What about Matthew 19 in verse number 21 through 27? And you think about the rich young ruler and how Jesus, he asked him a question. How does your law say? Go sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. And the Bible demonstrates to us that he turned away. But why? Because he had great possessions. But Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Teaches us some things. So I want us to consider a few things. This month, we're going to be talking about some difficult doctrines in the church, in the Bible, in the Word of God. I'm not going to spend too much of your time this morning. This is about humility. How are we going to accept the Word and will of God? And so we want to talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I'm going to deal with that. We want to talk about the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Not going to get into the weeds, if you will. Not going to get too deep into it. Brother Brian is going to be instructing us on that. And we're going to talk about how these teachings are the teachings of God. And we want to do our best to rightly divide the word of truth. But then we're also going to be talking about New Testament assembling. And what is the assembly? And is it authorized for us to assemble? Do we have to assemble? Or can I take this week off or take that week off? We're going to talk about those things. And then finally, and Brother Evan is going to be talking about that, Brother Royce is going to be talking about New Testament giving. And what is it? And why do we give? And what day of the week should we give? And what's the difference between New Testament giving on the first day of the week and our almsgiving? Brother Royce, I'm not telling you what to preach. I just threw that out there. But you can throw that in there. Brother Royce said, yeah, really? Okay, I guess so. I'll throw that in there. But we're going to talk about those things. But why? Here's the question. Why are you going to talk about those things? Number one, it's been a few years since we've talked about them. Number two, we have new people that have just obeyed the gospel. They have a right to know the whole counsel of God. Acts 20 and verse number 27. We have a responsibility to do our level best. So we're going to ask ourselves, why? Why discuss these difficult doctrines? Why discuss these teachings? Friends, we need to be thinking about these things. Again, Paul, as he is talking to those Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse number 27, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. We have a responsibility as gospel teachers, as gospel preachers, as elders in the Lord's church to make sure that we teach God's word. I was told by one preacher that if you're preaching on every single doctrine, everything in the scriptures, it's probably going to take you between 5 and 7 years to go through all of the teachings. And that depends on how much you can actually preach. What do you mean by that? Well, there's some congregations that assemble on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. In our case, we assemble on Sunday morning. We have a Bible class on Sunday evening. Have another opportunity on Wednesday night. But that gives us an opportunity to do some things. Why? Because we have the responsibility of preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 24, I wish I had time to really look at some of the passages that precede this, because we understand that God has always wanted his people to be the best, to have the best. But why? Because he wanted what was good for them. God's commands, his word, are for our good. If you look at verse number 24, let's read that. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, not some, but all, to reverence the Lord, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that we might preserve us, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Why did God give us his word? Even under the Old Testament, the second giving of the law, Moses, as he's talking to the children of Israel, he is reminding them of what he told the future generation, I'm sorry, the previous generation, of what they knew, once God gave them the law. Now he have this new generation, and hence the reason we are talking about some of these things, because we have a new generation of people that have just obeyed the gospel, and they need to know what we know. Why? Because, friends, if you have just obeyed the gospel, you're a new member of the Lord's church, you're going to have the responsibility of not only teaching your family, but teaching other people so the word of God can continue to go forward. Why? Because of behavior. Why? Because God always wants what is good for us. And so they had the responsibility of teaching their children. They had the responsibility of teaching one another and reminding one another. But turn to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, and I wanted to make sure that I got this particular point in, because this is the transition passage or passages that I wanted to use as it relates to humility. If we're going to accept the word of God, if we're going to accept the teachings of God concerning marriage, divorce, and remarriage, concerning the Holy Spirit, concerning New Testament assembly, concerning New Testament giving, we have to have the attitude and the mentality of Peter. We have to have this mentality. So in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse number 1, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesareth and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. Now watch this. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, teacher, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But notice his attitude, Brother Brian. Nevertheless, at your word. I may not fully understand everything that is being taught on these difficult subjects. I may not even agree with everything that's being said, but I have the responsibility to be like the Bereans and go check it. I have the responsibility of not being told what to think, but caused to think. I have that responsibility to be like Peter and says, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to do what you say. Oh, if some of us had that mentality in our world, correct? I'm going to do what the Lord says, even though I don't fully understand it. I'm going to do what the Lord says, even though I don't fully agree. I'm going to do what he says. We taught all night. We fished all night. But nevertheless, at your word, notice what he goes on to say, friends. I will let down the net. Notice the benefits of listening to Jesus. Brother Josh, great song selection. All to Jesus I surrender. Notice the benefits of surrendering to the words of Jesus, friends. Notice the benefits here. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. But notice more benefits. Not only did Peter benefit, but others were able to benefit because Peter surrendered to Jesus and his teachings. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, notice this benefit, brethren, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Friends, there are great benefits of doing what Jesus says. There are benefits of doing what he says, keeping the word and the will of God. There are great benefits. And so we want to talk about that. But what will be required? We have to ask ourselves, what will be required from us? Number one, you got to show up. Yes, you can listen to it online. You can listen to it because it is being recorded. You can listen to that. But friends, for this reason, we want to continue to understand, why do we assemble? There's nothing like being at the game. Oh yeah, you can watch it on television. I'm gonna be nice. You can watch them horns, you know. You can watch it on television, but ain't nothing like being at the game, watching them lose. It's nothing like being at the game. I'll calm down. It's nothing like being at the game. It's nothing like being in worship instead of hearing about what took place in worship. And we've developed a generation through COVID-19 for some reason that it's just okay to hear about what took place in worship instead of actually doing what God says and being in worship. So what will it require from us? Number one, it's going to require a willingness to assemble to hear the word of God. Nehemiah 8 and verse number 5. In order to receive the sense of the word, meaning that the minister, the teacher, the evangelist, the elder, the preacher has a responsibility of preaching the word and then giving the application of the word of God. So it's going to require you assembling. And so, if you're not here, then how will you truly benefit? How can God make us better? What will it require of us? It's going to require a willingness to be made holy through the molding of God's word. Talking to some good brethren, we was talking about this, and they brought this particular point. I said, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to use that, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Why? Because we don't want to be conformed, molded by the world, but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We want to be taught. There are so many different teachings on what we want to discuss this month. And you might not say, well, I don't agree with that fully. Well, that's fine. Go study it. And then come back and talk to us. One thing that we're not afraid of opening up the book, the word of God. Truth will always stand. You can tell a lot about a person when they'll say, I don't agree with that and I don't want to talk about it. No, that's not the right attitude. That's not the attitude of the people of God. If anything, bring it. Let's talk about it. And let God be found true. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 4. And every man be found a liar. God is true. His word is true. Jesus Christ says, I'm the way and the truth. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. And the Lord's church, the church of Christ, is the pillar and ground of the truth. We have the responsibility of holding truth. And truth always wins. So we must have that willingness to assemble, that willingness to be made holy through the molding of God's word. And finally, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, a willingness to cultivate our hearts and be good soil. I wish I had time to deal with this one. But here's the point I wanted to make with the Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. From what I gather, the focal point is always on the good soil, rightfully so. They're going to receive that word, and they're going to bring forth fruit. And they're going to bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100. But what if I'm the rocky soil person? What if I'm the wayward soil person? The stony soul person. Can I be cultivated and actually leave those and become good soil one day? Absolutely. Do you know that we talk to people every day that are hardened against God? And you spend time with them and you talk to them. And then you Romans 2:4 them by being good to them. And we know that the goodness of God leads men to repentance. And the next thing you know that they're not thorny or rocky or wayward. Now they become good ground. What will it require out of us? Sometimes Brother Mike is good ground, and sometimes Brother Mike is thorny ground, and sometimes I get hard-headed, and I need people that's going to say, Mike, you need to chill out. Mike, you need to humble yourself. It's okay. You know, it's all right to be corrected. That's why we started with Proverbs 9 and verse number 8 and 9. Why? Because every now and then, even the best of us need to be corrected. And even the best of us need to have the thorns taken out of our hearts, out of our minds. Even the best of us become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And we need someone that's going to love us enough to say, you know what, there's more required out of you. You ought to give God more. How can we humble ourselves? How can we do this? Turn to Psalm 25. How can we humble ourselves? We can humble ourselves by understanding that God's position of being the teacher, that's it. God is the teacher. He's the one that's doing the teaching. In Psalm 25, starting at verse number 8, ending at verse number 10, why does God have a right to tell me what to do? Why does God have a right to tell the world what to do? Remember in John 17, the first 2-3 verses there, we find Jesus as he is praying to the Father, and he said, I thank you, you give me authority over all flesh. Jesus is the one that we're supposed to be listening to. But if you look at verse number 8 through 10 in Psalm 25, notice this division. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. And the humble, he teaches his way. Let's stop real quick. When we think about the difficult subjects in the scriptures, it behooves me to be humble and to understand that God has a right to teach me. God has a right to instruct me. Why? He's the one that created me. He's the one that knows the way. Jesus Christ, put this in your notes, don't have time to really deal with it. I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And 17, Jesus Christ, the Word becoming flesh, made a marathon from heaven back to heaven. If anybody ought to teach us how to get back to heaven, it ought to be the one that came from heaven himself. And so God has a right to teach me. I have the responsibility to humble myself. Why? I want him to guide me. Why? I want him to teach me. Look at verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. For what reason? To such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. God wants to teach us. Question, do we want to be taught? Can we be taught? God knows what is right. God knows what is wrong. And Habakkuk 3 and verse number 6 says his ways are everlasting. And since his ways are everlasting, I need to listen to exactly what he says. Look at James 1. In James chapter 1, another reason humility is so important. When I am hearing the word of God, I have the responsibility to first hear it. And then I have the responsibility to check it. Despise not prophesying. In our day and time, it would be despise not preaching. When we understand the word of God, now I have the responsibility to do it. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And to depart from evil, that's understanding. Job 28, verse 28. But notice James 1. And starting at verse number 19, I have 21, 22 up there. I want to add something to this. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear what? The word of truth, verse 18. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted or the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I want to make a point here. I see why sometimes it can be difficult to take in what God says. Because I asked myself this question, and I was talking to the teenagers during class this morning, and I asked myself this question, why don't I understand what God is saying here? Could it be that there is some things that I need to get out of my mind, get out of my life, so I can receive with meekness the right attitude, the engrafted word, which is able to save my soul? It's difficult to have sin in your life, in your mind, and be able to see clearly what God's word is saying. Why? I got to get rid of some things. Just can't see clearly. Why? Because I'm cloudy. I'm not sober in my mind, in my judgment. And so this is why we have to be careful when we allow sin to enter into our minds or bad judgment. And so here we see that he says you need to lay these things aside. You need to get rid of these things. Why? So you can receive with meekness the right attitude of humility, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Which demonstrates to me, and I thought about this, the receiving of God's word is the keeping of our soul, and they are harmonious. How do I know that I'm on my way to heaven? I'm keeping the word of God. I'm humbling myself to what God's word has to say. And I've heard people say this literally in my office. When I was in Abilene, I was talking to these individuals and we were talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And this woman chimed up and she said, and I quote, I'll take my chances with God. I said, you're better off taking a gun to your head playing Russian roulette. I sure did. Because you don't take chances with God. You know why? Because what God's word says is true and it doesn't change. You can take that gun and you can spin that and you can click. Whew, I got off. But not when it comes to God. When it comes to God, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. When it comes to God, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? When it comes to God, I'm going to stand before God to give an account of the things I've done in this body, whether it be good or bad. When it comes to God. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So I told Brian yesterday, I said, you know, sometimes what scares me about God literally just scares me out of my boots. Is that God can use a man who's not living right and still accomplish his purpose. That scares me. Friends, what does that mean? As it relates to this text, we want to get rid of everything that we need to get rid of that gets in the way between us and God. And when we do that, we'll find ourselves in harmony with God. And we'll have that mentality and that understanding as Jesus did in Matthew 26 and verse number 39. How can we humble ourselves? We need to understand God's position. We need to receive his word. We need to cultivate that mentality, not my will, but thy will be done. And so that caused me to think about this. In the late 90s, early 2000s, Evelyn and I was talking, studying some difficult doctrines. And she asked a question that I just thought was just magnificent. She said, Mike, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? Because we were studying some things that were pretty... Well, they were hard. Why do I want this to be true? Why don't I want to submit my will to what God is saying right here? Why do I want this to be true? And friends, I believe that's a good question in evangelism. Why do I want this to be true? And so even as Christians, when we start talking about some of these things, some may say, you know, I don't believe that, Brother Mike. Brother Brian, you know, I hear your conclusion on the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that. Brother Evan, I don't truly believe that I got to show up for every single service. And Brother Royce, who are you to say that I must give every Lord's Day? So ask yourself this question. Why don't I want that to be true? So I thought that was a good question then. It's a good question today. But finally, what should be the results of humbling ourselves? real quick, you see the passages. Wow. What are the results of actually submitting to Jesus? All to Jesus I surrender. What are the results? We'll be more like God. We'll be conformed to the image of Christ, Romans 8:29. What will be the results? We'll think more like God. We will not grow and not be deceived by false teachings. Ephesians 4:13-14. There's so many false teachings out there today. We have to be careful. We need to be learning. We need to be growing. But just because my thought process is not right on something doesn't mean that I can't be like an Apollos and have a beautiful Priscilla and Aquila to come and talk to me. Friends, I don't mind, and you shouldn't mind being wrong. You should mind staying wrong. I've been wrong on many things. I've been married 28 years. I know that. You've been wrong before? Yes. But there's one that is never wrong, and that's God himself. He's never wrong. And then finally, we will know the truth, and that truth will indeed set us free. So we want to talk about, for the next few weeks, some difficult doctrines in December that I truly believe will not only help you, but help me and help those who will be speaking to grow in more clarity, to be more confident, to have more courage, and ultimately to be more like Christ. Let's have a word of prayer, and then I'll offer the invitation. Holy God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, hallowed be your name. Father, we're thankful for the day, the time you've given us to assemble and to encourage one another, to sing songs of praises, and to remember your son's death till he comes, to be able to give of our means, hear prayers, and to pray, and to sing. And pray to Father that things that we have done, the spiritual things that we have done, that they are not in vain, and that you see our hearts as we know that you do, and you find us to be faithful. Father, if we're not faithful, if we're not right, we pray that we will examine ourselves, for we know our own hearts, and make those things right that we may be pleasing unto thee. Look forward to this month, Father. Ask that you grant every speaker the wisdom and the time to look into the scriptures and to rightly divide in order to not only help those who are new in the faith, but to also remind us of the beauty of your word and the benefits of it and how it leads us back home to you. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to strive to be like your son, Jesus Christ, in everything that we do and say. Bless us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider the word, consider the gospel, consider the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ. When you consider that, we think about the good news of Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, and dying on the cross for our sins, but not just that. He was buried, and God raised him up the third day, showed him forth. Over 500 individuals saw the risen Christ, but that wasn't enough. God raised him, or ascended him rather, to his right hand, and now we listen to him. We listen to Jesus. Every man must listen to him, whether in the church or out of the church. You got to listen to him, and when you listen to him, you benefit. And Jesus is king over the kingdom, which is the church. Matthew 28:18-20. Matthew 16:18-19. Acts 8:12. Friends, you have to be a member of the Lord's church. You have to be baptized into Christ, to come in contact with the blood of Christ, which is the cleansing agent. It cleanses your conscience from dead works. Now you can serve God. You do that by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of sin, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, where you come in contact with that blood. Live faithful unto death, and God will give you the crown of life. Maybe a child of God, and well, you need special prayer. Let us pray for you. We need special prayer. We need individuals that are able to take prayer up to the Father, for God heareth the righteous. We want to be part of those righteous, that God may hear us on behalf of our brethren as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation. Brother John.